can turn in your Bible, please, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 would be a good place to start if you can look at that, please, because we're going to look this morning at Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 22. It really, I suppose, the underlying message is God's purpose for you and for me. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being here. And we ask that you will help us as we spend this time in your presence. We pray that you'll help us to hear you speak to us. We ask that you'll bless us so that we can be a blessing to others, not only in this community, but all around the world. So thank you and praise you, Father, for being so patient with us. And we just ask that you'll speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on you. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. This we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory alone. Amen. A few years ago, the principal of Cape and Ray Bible College, Major Ian Thomas, wrote several books, and one was The Indwelling Life of Christ. And in that book, he quotes this poem that hopefully you've had given to you as you came in. It's you need good eyesight to read it, but just in case you can't, I'll read it as we begin this morning. It was written by somebody who had tried to commit suicide and life was going pretty difficult, but when she became a Christian, God transformed her whole life. And she found and understood something of God's purpose in her life. Discovering daily who God really is, thanking him daily, he's mine and I'm his. Discovering daily that God's great love for me, such mercy, forgiveness, amazingly free. Discovering daily that God really cares. Discovering daily God answers prayer. Discovering daily what grace really means, unmerited favor beyond all my dreams. Discovering daily God speaking to me. He speaks through the Bible, once blind, now I see. Discovering each day that I live, that all that I need he freely will give. Discovering daily Christ working through me, accomplishing daily what never could be. Discovering daily I can't, but he can. Thanking him daily for my place in his plan. Discovering daily how real life can be when I'm living in Christ and he's living in me. Discovering daily a song in my heart with anticipation for each day to start. Delighting and basking in love so divine, secure in the knowledge I'm his and he's mine. Beside mere contentment, excitement I see. A daily adventure, Christ alive and living in me. And hopefully that will be our discovery. It's certainly the Apostle Paul's discovery, wasn't it? Because before he became a Christian, Acts chapter 9 and verse 11 tells us all about that. And we read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11, the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. So this was the beginning of the conversion of the Apostle Paul, who was called Saul of Tarsus at the beginning. We're going to focus on his conversion. He's a notorious enemy of the church. He was an amazing enemy of Christ, and he was determined that he was going to destroy all Christians. He was very sincere, yes. But he was misguided, blind, but he was wonderfully saved. God met him in an amazing and wonderful way. He thought that Christ was an imposter and that Christians were being deceived. But then dramatically, the Lord met with him. And we read in Acts 9 and verses 3 to 5 that as he neared on his journey to Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what to do." So immediately, this proud man was humbled. Immediately, this proud man was convicted, converted, and then commissioned. It was really a miracle. As in fact, every person that becomes a Christian is a miracle of new birth. And the Lord told Ananias and sent him to go and encourage Saul, or the Apostle Paul, verse 11. And the Lord told him to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, ask for a man of Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. Ananias knew the reputation of Saul of Tarsus. He knew how he hated Christians. He knew how he's an official persecutor of the Christian church. And so I think Ananias, to get this message from the Lord, must have taken a bit of a shock, mustn't it? He may have thought, what on earth's going on here? Lord, he may have prayed, can I just check that name again and that address? Do you mean Saul of Tarsus, the Saul who hates and persecutes the Christians? Do you mean that Saul? Yeah. And so what did he do? In obedience, he went, and the Lord helped him. And what I'd like us to do is try and discover some of the things that happened on Straight Street that day. Because there was an amazing discovery, wasn't there? Because he was discovering for the first time, maybe, God's love. No one can become a Christian apart from conversion and discovering God's love for us as individuals. And Matthew 18 verse 3 tells us about the importance of conversion. And he said, "Truly, truly, I say, unless you change and become a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Saul had this revelation of the risen Lord in all his glory. And he saw the Lord Jesus, and he was persuaded that now Jesus is not an imposter. He's not trying to deceive people, but he's alive. He's the Son of God. His death was unique. He had risen from the dead. He's the true Messiah, and he's the Savior of the world, worthy of Saul's devotion, because this was a heavenly vision that Saul had. Acts 26 and verse 19. I was not disobedient to the heavenly call, or the voice from heaven, or the vision from heaven. It was in the house of Judas on Straight Street that he began to have the assurance of salvation. It was in that house that he began to have the assurance that God loved him, and God was a God of grace and mercy. And an amazing discovery. And isn't that true today, when we can understand and have a revelation of God loves me? And isn't it thrilling to know that God loves you, whoever you are? And whatever has happened this week, God loves you. He may not like some of the one or love some of the things that we got up to, but he loves us, and he longs to help us and to bless us. So there was another discovery in the house on Straight Street, and it was a discovering or discovery of prayer. So discovering prayer is an amazing thing. Look at verse 11 of Acts chapter 9. We're told there that Saul of Tarsus, he was praying. Now, of course, Saul of Tarsus, a very religious man, he'd have said many, many prayers in his life. But I think they were just words. Like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verse 11. And the Pharisee stood by himself, and he said, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." He was praying all about himself. And how different now that humbly and humbled before the Lord, he lifts his heart to the Lord in that situation and discovers real prayer. John Burton wrote a poem that went a bit like this. I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayer is not sincere. Lord, show me what I need and teach me how to pray, and ask me to seek thy grace to mean the words I say. And we need a fresh discovery of prayer, not just saying words, parrot fashion, but having that intimate relationship with the Lord. We've already been challenged this morning to bring large petitions, large prayers, large requests, and we can do that. And it'd be exciting to see what God can do as we discover afresh the prayer life God wants us to have. The other thing that we notice that happened on Straight Street in Judas's house that day was a discovery of God's will. And discovering God's will is really, really exciting. God leads his people. And the thrilling thing is, God leads his people, you and me, a step by step. I've discovered over the years that God leads us one step at a time. Proverbs 4 and verse 12 says, as you go, step by step, I will open the way before you. And the cloud of pillar that led the Israelites, it was day by day. And today, it is the Holy Spirit that leads us step by step. God's word is a lamp to our feet, not a searchlight into the future. And we need to take those steps day by day in obedience to the Lord. Psalm 37, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And God's plan for our lives is a wonderful thing. And on that day, in Judas's house on Straight Street, Saul of Tarsus was discovering God's will. And we can discover God's will because God had a will for Saul. God has a will for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And he wants to use you for his amazing glory. Acts 9 verse 6. Now get up and go to the city and you'll be told what you must do. And verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. How amazing it is to discover God's plan and God's purpose for our lives. And we should constantly be in prayer because certainly we see the Apostle Paul or Saul then, he began his new life in prayer and committing himself to the Lord. And he came to know the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was born into the family of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is God's provision for every one of us, his children, that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says, you know, don't get drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Holy Spirit. A constant experience. And God's provision for every one of us. It was necessary for Saul to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that he might live and serve the Lord effectively. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is necessary and available to every one of us right here and right now. Acts 2:4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, again, 39. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And it's a great thing when we understand. It's a great thing when new Christians understand, maybe for the first time, something of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, something of the experience of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It's a truly amazing and exciting thing. What a discovery on that street that day. And then there was another discovery for the Saul, and it was a discovery of the church, discovering the church and the family of God. It's a great thing for Saul because he was an enemy of the church, wasn't he? He hated the Lord and Christians. He tried to get rid of them. Acts 9:18, immediately something like scales fell from his eyes that he could see, and he got up and was baptized. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? And at once, on coming to know Christ, he got up and was baptized. And I'm just wondering if it's time you were baptized. Well, you say, yes, I think so. Well, we can't do it this morning because the baptistry is empty. Apart from Brian's glass of water, I don't think we could get into that. So we'd have to wait until it's full, but we're going to do that very shortly. If you say, well, yeah, I think I realize that God is saying that we believe and are being baptized. Why would you want to be disobedient to God's word any longer? Let's make sure that we follow according to Matthew 28 and verse 9. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think of what it meant, to what this means to the to Paul and Saul. He was an enemy, a persecutor, the Christian hater. He was taking this step, and I'm sure there were those around who had said, "Is he in it for the money? You know, what's all this about? I wonder if it's a real. I wonder if he really is converted. Will it last?" I'm sure they were asking all those sort of questions. But we know the answer because, the Lord was leading him. And he was seeking to live his life in accordance with the desire of God's word. Mark 6:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now that he was a Christian, Saul then came into fellowship with the saints, came into fellowship with the church. That's why church is so important. You can't opt out of the church because it's so important in God's economy. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. You'd want to be with other Christians, wouldn't you, if you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As soon as he was converted, Saul came into fellowship with the Lord himself. You can trace these from Acts chapter 9. So he came into fellowship with Judas, Ananias, and he was in fellowship with all of those others who were baptized and those who fed him, the other disciples and other people in Damascus. He had fellowship and was part of the church, which was so exciting for him to have fellowship and be strengthened and encouraged. Another discovery there for Saul was discovering God's plan. How do we choose the path to take? How do we know whether we should go this way or that way, or do this or do that? We wonder and worry maybe about the direction our lives should take. But let me read Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 to you. For God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. As Christians, we know true happiness and the wonder of life when we come to surrender ourselves to Him in obedience. And as you look and perhaps reread Acts chapter 9, Saul is not only became a Christian, but from the start he became a Spirit-filled witnessing Christian, sharing Christ with others. How on earth can that happen for us this week? Well, let me just give you one or two hints if we can. So how are we going to be Spirit-filled witnessing Christians tomorrow, or even this afternoon for that matter? First, we need to immerse ourselves in God's Word. Get into the Word of God, read it, meditate upon it, hide it in your heart. It's almost certain that we'll never be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit if we're not allowing God's Word to fill our hearts and our minds. And we need to believe the Word of God. Trust that God intended to do some wonderful things in our life for His glory and the blessing of others. And it's through you that He wants to bring a blessing to others. That's what the Bible teaches. So we need to do what God is telling us. And sometimes we need to make sure that we pray earnestly and we pray and fast. The power of the Holy Spirit is something we need to pray for, something we need to seek and ask. And sometimes we need to do that with fasting. And then we need to trust and obey. We need to seek the power of the Holy Spirit to obey Him as He prompts us. Maybe you can say, well, somewhere in the past, I was saved. Thank God for that salvation. Thank God that we've come to know Him as our Lord and Savior. But you say, well, no, I don't think I have. Don't wait any longer. Don't wait, because the Lord is waiting for you to come to Him. You can say to Him with words of Acts 9 and verse 5, who are you, Lord? If you've never become a Christian, just cry out to Him, who are you, Lord? And Jesus will reply, I am Jesus, which means the Savior of the world, longing to be your Savior and your Lord. And then we can say to Him, my Lord and my God, with John 20:28. I wonder, what does Jesus think about what's going on in the world today? What do you think about what's going on in the world today? What does Jesus think about what's going on in the church today? Almost more specifically, what does Jesus think about what's going on in this church today? Or perhaps we can be a little bit more personal and say, what does Jesus think about what's going on in your life today? Maybe your first love needs to be rekindled. Maybe we've got to fall in love with Jesus again. In this passage, we read of this great event, maybe one of the greatest events in the history of the church. There's a dramatic conversion of Saul of Tarsus and how he discovered so amazing things. Discovering God's love, discovering prayer, God's will, the church, and that God has a plan and a purpose for him. And what an amazing discovery for us to make, even today. In the 18th century, there were two brilliant lawyers, Lord Lyttelton and Gilbert West. As they studied the New Testament, these lawyers came to the conclusion that Christianity rested on two major pillars: the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. These two men were not Christians, but they decided to devote their energies in proving the lie of Christianity and to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Gilbert West agreed to write a book refuting the resurrection, and Lord Littleton agreed to write one refuting the conversion of Saul. After some time, the lawyers met together to discuss the progress. Gilbert West said, "You know, this project is not going the way I expected it to go." And Lord Littleton said, "That's happening to me as well. The research is not going the way I wanted it to go." But both men, however, decided that they would persevere with the task. Finally, the books were produced. And on the basis of the evidence found in the New Testament, Gilbert West proved the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord Littleton proved the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. These brilliant lawyers used all their legal skills and could not refute the truth of Christianity. As a result of their studies, both became Christians. What an amazing discovery. And God has a purpose and a plan for you. Why not discover it today? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of all that you're doing in your world. And we just pray that you'll help us to bring our lives in line with your will and your word, so that we can be spirit-filled witnesses, pleasing you, honoring you, and a blessing to others. Father, thank you. And we commit ourselves to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've got a song to finish with? Wonderful. Let's stand, shall we? Let me